بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ليشهدوا منافع لهم ويذكروا اسم الله في أيام معلومات في أيام معلومات على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام، فكلوا منها وأطعموا البائس الفقير، ثم ليقضوا تفثهم وليوفوا نذورهم وليطوفوا بالبيت العتيق. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
For the last of a couple of nights, we were discussing and reading about the Hajj rites and the spiritual implications of Hajj, and the reward that Allah bestows, the gift that Allah bestows on those who perform Hajj. Here in 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, that they may witness the benefits. Manafi', it is plural here, manafi', provided for them. مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, Hajj provides both benefits for both life, for the material life, for this life, and also for the spiritual life, the hereafter. It provides for both of them. It's the benefit of the Hajj, the blessing of the Hajj is not confined to the hereafter. It is extended to this life. Another hadith from the collection of a hadith regarding the Hajj, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, states that whenever someone from a family, one member of a whole family, stands on the day of Arafat, during the Hajj season on the day of Arafat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that one person, is going to forgive the sins of all of his families. All of his family, even though they are not in Hajj, and they are only represented by one member of their family, Allah, out of his generosity, out of his rahmah, mercy and compassion, is going to forgive the sins of the rest of the family members who are not in Hajj, if the members are mu'mineen, believers in Allah. They are mu'mineen, they practice religion. But if they are non-believers, they don't believe in religion, they don't believe in the blessing of the Hajj. And if you don't believe in the blessing of Hajj or fast or the prayers, you would not get it. You have to believe in that. So this is one benefit. However, what are the material benefits of Hajj for this life? Hajj is the most symbol of universal brotherhood and sisterhood. Therefore, Hajj strengthen universal brotherhood. When you go to Hajj, inshallah, those of you who have been to Hajj, to this largest annual congregation and the greatest annual convention on earth, you will see that people from all the entire globe, almost every city in this world, they gather at that point in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They come from every color, every language, every social background, every race. They stand shoulder to shoulder before the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They practice, perform the tawaf. They move in union in tawaf together. While you are performing the tawaf, you can hear different accents, different languages talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that tawaf. And they wear the simplest dress, the simplest clothing. So this is a gesture of harmony. This is a gesture of unity. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I want something more from you. Not only I need to see the bodies together standing shoulder to shoulder, I want to see the souls and the minds also together, the thoughts also together. This is why when we go there, we are supposed to discuss the challenges that we face, and then we provide solutions for our challenges, for our problems, for what we face, for what our families and our children and our youth face. This is what Allah wants us to do. Allah wants us to display real solidarity and real unity and real compassion for each other. This is why He wants us together in that point. It could have been easy for us to stay in our homes, not to spend this money to stay, and in one day we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we do in the Hajj, in Ramadan, in the Eid, people go to their local mosques and places of worship and they perform Salat al-Eid. And during Salat al-Jum'ah also, people gather in their local mosque, and Salat al-Jum'ah is being described as Hajj al-Fuqara. Those who cannot afford, financially cannot afford going to Hajj, they have to go to Salat al-Jum'ah. But Allah wants us to go there. We witness many benefits, and we can see other nations. We can talk to them, we can relate to them, we can communicate with them, we can recognize them, and they recognize us. This is the reason. Allah wants us to be introduced to other believers who you might not be able to see them in other occasion, only during the Hajj season. And Allah wants you to sit with them and talk and discuss and share your thoughts and your concerns with them. And unfortunately, what is happening during the Hajj is something else. Is not what Allah is intending for us to do. Hujjaj are secluded from one another. Each nation, each race, each nationality is secluded in one camp, in one quarter, in one area. And in some cases, they are not allowed to communicate with others. And this is contrary to what Allah wants us to do during the Hajj season. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. In fact, this is the translation when you are there with others. This is the translation of the doctrine of faith into action and into practice. And in fact, the Hajj, with this a huge number of people, it is supposed to frighten our enemies. It is supposed to frighten when our enemies, they see 2 million, 3 million Muslims are gathered in one point for a noble reason. Not to play, not to have fun, not to eat and drink, not to dance and jump up and down. They have a noble cause. Of course, the enemies of Allah and the enemies of Islam will be frightened. But I don't think any enemy of Islam today is frightened when he sees the Hajj. In fact, they enjoy sometimes. You know why? Because Hajj, unfortunately, has been commercialized to sell the products of others. To sell the foreign products in a Muslim land. Hajj today has been commercialized. Hajj is for business and trade. Not to enhance unity. Not to foster harmony and understanding among the Muslims. Today, what is happening is different from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, unfortunately, Hajj has been commercialized. Not only Hajj, even the month of Ramadan in the Muslim countries. What is the meaning of Ramadan? Ramadan is not self-control, is not self-restraint, is not self-evaluation. It's not an opportunity for reflection. It's opportunity to eat halwa, sweet, all these delicious food, to go to the restaurant, to invite friends after sunset to have fun until dawn, rather than reading Quran and dua. They sit in some countries, they erect huge tents, and then they have festivals every night, rather than facing Mecca, reading the Quran, understanding what Allah wants from them. They bring this shisha, hookah, and hookah and mocha, and then coffee and tea, and sometimes dancing. Yes, they show on some satellite TVs that during the night of Ramadan, and they call them Ramadan festivities. I don't know which book of dua says dancing is part of Ramadan's festivities. Which book of dua? This is, unfortunately, Ramadan lost its value in the Muslim world. Ramadan, it's an opportunity to add weight to the stomachs, to these stomachs, not to reduce weight, not to remember Allah. Ramadan is an opportunity to remember the shaitan, to make shaitan happy, not to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. The same thing with the Hajj today. Hajj lost the value. In Hajj, your first concern, your first thoughts is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. But for some people, they have to run after their passports from one office to another office. This is how their time is consumed. For others, they have to run from one mall to another, from this shopping center to another shopping center. For others, they go and they sleep 25 hours a day, rather than spending the time in the haram, reciting the dua. And for others, it's an occasion for argument and quarreling and dispute with their brothers and sisters. We are not saying trade is haram. In fact, Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. There is no sin on you. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ, that you seek the bounty from your Lord. فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, bounty from your Lord, has been interpreted by the Mufassireen as being involved in the trade, in business. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, when you finish the Hajj, when you take off the ihram, إِذَا أَحَلَّ الرَّجُلِ إِحْرَامَهُ وَقَضَى فَلْيَشْتَرِي وَلْيَبِعْ فِي الْمَوْسِمِ. If he finishes his Hajj, if he fulfills his duty in Hajj, then let him go and get engaged in business, in buying, in selling, during the Hajj season. It is not haram, but it should not be the main objective of someone who goes to Hajj. It's funny, the other day I was reading, we have in the same chapter here, we have in ayah 25. In ayah 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, والمسجد الحرام الذي جعلناه للناس سواء العاكف فيه والباد. The sacred mosque, Mecca. That we made that sacred mosque, which we have made open and equal to all people. What does it mean, equal? Mecca is equal to all. What does that mean? It means that it has two meanings. Number one, open to all, equal is the dweller there and the visitors from other places. They are equal. What does it mean they are equal in Mecca? It means that in the Hajj rites, in the manasik, people are equal. We don't have people who do more and others who do less. We don't have people who go from the poor countries, they have to do more activities. People who come from America and Europe, from rich background, they sit in the lobbies of the hotel and someone else goes and does things. No, Allah says they are both equal. They have both to endeavor, to struggle, to exercise the rights of Hajj. This is one meaning. The other meaning is that Mecca and the surrounding of Al-Masjid Al-Haram belongs to the people of Mecca and people who come from outside. And then our fuqaha, Muslim jurists and scholars, they say that therefore, since Allah made Mecca equal for the inhabitants of Mecca and the outsiders, the one who comes, walbad, Allah says walbad, bad, not wind, huh, in Farsi. In Farsi, wind. Bad here means the one who comes from Badia, from the desert, from outside Mecca. That area belongs to all. And therefore, imagine this. Our ulama believe that no one can rent any house or any place around the Kaaba to the people. It has to be provided free, free, with no rent. Exactly this is what is happening, alhamdulillah. All these hotels are free. لوجه الله تعالى. It is the most expensive place. The most expensive rent in the whole world. Contrary to what the Quran is saying. Allah says this house belongs to all. Does not belong to certain group of people. Even the Meccans, they don't have an exclusive right in that area. This land is my house. It belongs to all those who come to visit. Therefore, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam said to his governor on Mecca that you cannot charge people any money if they live in the homes that are surrounding Al-Masjid Al-Haram. You can't charge them money. They have to sit. This is their land. It belongs to them. It should be available to those who come and perform Hajj and Umrah. But unfortunately, when you look around Al-Masjid Al-Haram today, what do you see? You see these high-rise buildings that people intend only to make money out of them, not to serve the Hujjaj, not to serve those who come and visit the house of Allah. Hajj has been unfortunately commercialized. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. So the main benefit, material benefit, is to feel this sense of brotherhood, that all those people are your brothers. There is no discrimination. There is no race above the others. And believe me, brothers and sisters, if humanity today can eradicate discrimination, prejudice, bigotry, racial discrimination, then 90% of our problems are solved. 90% of our problems. If humanity can solve the problem of racial discrimination. But unfortunately, this is what we don't see, neither in the Muslim world nor in the non-Muslim world. Still, discrimination exists today. Everywhere you go, to every country you go, there is racial discrimination. Allah says, we want you when you go there to focus on me and then to develop this sense of harmony with the one who is standing next to you. Don't look at his color. Don't look at his language. Consider him your brother, your counterpart in the creation, and your brother in faith. So this is the first benefit. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. The second dimension of benefits of Hajj are the spiritual one. Hajj is a journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned last night, our focus has to be Allah. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam, when he speaks about Hajj, he says, وَالْحَجُّ تَسْكِينٌ لِلْقُلُوبِ. Taskeen, it's remedy for the hearts. Allah created Hajj and he wants you to go to Hajj to receive remedy for your hearts, healings for the heart, soothing for the heart, serenity for the heart. Spiritual serenity for the heart. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to go to Hajj. وَالْحَجُّ تَسْكِينٌ لِلْقُلُوبِ. Therefore, in the Hajj, Hajj is intended to be a major moral, ethical, spiritual transformation and change for those who perform the Hajj. When people have bad habits, when they go to Hajj, their intention should be that by the time I come back from Hajj, this bad habit is curbed. And is over. I have to bury it there in the sands of Mecca and come back. I remember a story of a friend of mine here in Orange County. One day he told me that before I went to Hajj, I was a very angry man, very bad tempered. Nobody dared to speak to me. I would only use my fist in answering the people, not my mouth, my fist, you know, left and right. By the time I went to Mecca and I saw the Kaaba and I saw different races, different people, I saw the elderly men, their, you know, back is bowed down and they still walk these long distances and they push themselves through the crowd in Tawaf, in Sa'i, in Mina, in Arafat. I saw women, I saw children. I started thinking about myself and my role, why Allah created me. What is my relationship with people around me? Should it be based on animosity and hatred and violence always? Or I should respect them. I should appreciate them and respect them and have tolerance with them. He says, I came back and I swear to God, I never used my fist since the day I came back from Hajj. Never ever. And instead of that, I always smile. Even to the people who insult me, I smile in their face. This is not something easier to achieve, huh? Not something easy. Rasulullah says, the closest one of you to me on the day of judgment, أحسنكم أخلاقاً. The closest people who are going to have seats next to me in paradise are those with the best manner, with the best attitude, those who are forgiving, those who are calm. And that person changed. And this should be our intention when we go. When we look at ourselves in the ihram, which is two simple pieces of garbs, very simple, you buy them for $10. All people buy the same thing, almost equal in the price. And sewn, very simple. And when you deny yourself the comfort of this living, although you are able to take everything with you, but you leave everything behind. You renounce the worldly pleasures of this life, This makes you think, why I am here? What is the reason? I spent money, I left my business, I left my family, I came, I flew to almost 20 hours to get into this land. Why I am here? You're going to ask, why am I here? Then you would realize that you are there for a purpose, for a reason. And the more we detach ourselves from dunya, because we have been, brothers and sisters, handicapped by this dunya. Always obsessed. Obsessed with our food, with our drink, with our homes, with the decorations of the living room, with our fancy cars, with our dress, with our cosmetics. We captivated ourselves. Captivated. We are asir now. We are captives. We are captives to the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I want you to come there. Throw all the cosmetics, the perfumes, the dresses, the fancy clothing, jewelry. Put it aside and come to me. And you have to sleep in the desert. You have to sit in the desert. You have to stand in the desert. In Muzdalifah, suddenly after many years of comfort, sleeping on the best comfortable mattresses, in Muzdalifah you find yourself, the mattress is the sand and the blanket is the sky. And you would think, why am I here? What is this? What's the meaning of Hajj? The more you renounce this life, detach yourself, the closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A heart which is busy with maddiyat, with materials, cannot focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cannot focus on Allah. You either have this way or that way. You can't have all the pleasure of this life, indulge yourself in all worldly pleasures, and at the same time you want to be so humble and so close to Allah. You can't have both. This is why Hajj offers us this opportunity to reevaluate our life, to restudy ourselves, to revise our history, and think where we are heading. And let me conclude by saying that a hadith, we have many traditions that tells us that with the intention that you go to Hajj, you're going to come back with what you had in your mind. No more, no less. If in your mind that you go there to make money, business, you will come back with money, not with forgiveness. If in your mind that you are going half and half, half to worship and half to have fun, then you're going, half of your reward will be fun, nothing. And then the other half will be, inshallah, hasanat. And if you go there with this intention, that I am there only for Allah, I don't care about difficulties, I don't care about what type of food we are eating, what type of lodging we are having, what type of car we are having, I am there a slave of Allah, and I am ready to be His slave for 2 weeks. Then you are going to come back with full basket. You are going to come back with full reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It depends on our intention. Allah says, I would not impose anything on you. I would leave you with your intention. Your niyyah is me, you're going to have me. Your intention and your niyyah is something else, you're going to have that thing. It depends on us.
وَلِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ.
We will reflect on that. What is the أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ? Because in the Quran, Allah sometimes says أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, and in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. We have معلومات and معدودات, and both are different from one another. And we will study this inshallah tomorrow, Wednesday. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير. Let's pray. for some people. One of them, a sister who's in the hospital for a long time. Another, a brother. Another group of people who asked us to remember them. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله